Now it's time for the Wallops and Assateague Island Report, sponsored by Pohanka of Salisbury. Here's your host, Robin Rothschild.
And hello, I'm Robin Rothschild. Welcome to the program today. I have a very special guest, Mr. Sepp Massagub. How you doing, Sepp?
I'm just fine, thank you.
Sepp is president of Spaceport Support Services and works very closely with Orbital Sciences and also NASA down at the Wallops Island Flight Facility. Sepp, you know, a week ago today, we were hanging out down at Wallops Island.
Right, rainy day.
Yeah. But it was still nice. It was still a nice day. And I've been very fortunate to be on the actual island, seen a sounding rocket launch from there, mm-hmm. which actually there's one scheduled today till 10 a.m.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I've been driven around the launch pads, the actual launch pads. So we're driving down there and Sepp says to me, "You want to go climb the tower?" I said, "Sure, sure, no problem, 150 feet. There's actually two launch pads down there. There's Pad A, which is the brand new launch pad. That's for the Antares rocket launch, and that's a liquid fuel pad. And then there's Pad B, which is the solid fuel pad, and that's the one for the little bit smaller rockets, for the Minotaur rockets. So the Pad B, he says, "Come on, let's go." Now, what I got about halfway up, we were climbing about 150 feet, so about 70 feet. I said, "Oh, you know, we better not go up any further." I did have an allergy attack the Sunday prior, but what I didn't tell him, which I was wearing 4-inch platform shoes.
Well, you did a good job hiding it.
Well, thank you for that tour, and I want to take you up to go up to the top because
sure.
It was absolutely fascinating. And what was great, Sepp, was I got to see exactly where the rocket is held at the launch pad,
right.
And that
mm-hmm.
that was really fascinating to me.
Good.
So how are you today?
I'm just great, thank you.
So, Sepp, why don't you, first of all, your company, I want to tell the listeners that I found out about your company reading the paper,
mm-hmm.
and this is a perfect example of what this program down at Wallops Island Flight Facility, how it helps the local economy. Your company is based out of Selbyville, Delaware.
That's correct. Yeah, we are basically a group of engineers, physicists, field technicians, programmers, schedulers, and supporting staff. Our main job is to support Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport, which is known as MARS. MARS maintains and operates two commercial launch pads in NASA Wallops Flight Facility in Wallops Island. So we'll do whatever it takes to help them out to have a smooth operation over there.
Now, when you say that, how many people does your company employ?
Very small. We are roughly around 30, 35 people.
And how many of those are engineers?
About half, and most of them are local. We always made a point of going to local universities. Most of our engineers come from Salisbury, University of Delaware, University of Maryland, and most of them are young engineers, fresh out of school, and I've been very fortunate to have probably the best team that I ever worked with.
Well, I got the privilege of meeting some of them last Tuesday, mm-hmm. and I tell you, it's infectious when you walk into that office.
And I remember what you said. That's the comment that everybody tells me. They say, "They're so young." That's the first thing that comes out. They may be young, but they're unbelievable. They're the best.
You know, when you look at that, though, and say, here's a as you say, small local company mm-hmm. that's hiring 15 so engineers, I mean, that's just spectacular. For this area,
mm-hmm.
and it's growing because as the program grows,
right,
that will be growing as well. So, Sepp, what really fascinated me is when we were talking last week, and I asked you, how did you get involved in the Wallops Island Flight Facility down there? And first of all, why don't you give us a little background about yourself?
Okay, I guess about. Let's go back to mid-60s, and that's, we're talking about half a century ago. But anyway, that's when the kids in my generation, all we heard was the space race and going to the orbit and going to the moon. So naturally, I studied aerospace engineering. But by the time I got out by late 60s out of college, with the Vietnam War and everything else was going on, the funding wasn't there for aerospace. So most of us engineers end up going to different fields of engineering. I ended up actually in Interstate Highway in road and bridge design and construction. And I was very fortunate to be able to have my own businesses, my own companies, and I spent 30 years in that business, designing bridges. About 16 years ago or so, I decided to retire early. I sold my businesses and moved to Delaware Beaches. And you've been through that. You know how it is. You spend a couple of years doing traveling, and then I did fishing and boating, and then you get the itch, you want to do something else. And that was about 12, 13 years ago when I heard about the possibility of commercial launches out of Wallops Island, which is only an hour from Delaware Beaches. And I think you know what happens then. So I got involved with that, and we designed and built the first launch tower, the one that we walked up. And I think my background in the bridge work came handy because what we offered them was basically build a bridge, stand it up on his one end and put wheels under it, and that's it. That's your launch tower.
I love it.
So that's how we got back into the business.
And, you know, it's funny how it did go full circle because
right.
at least now, you know, what you actually went to school for,
that's correct,
is now coming right. true.
Yeah, but, I mean, we did Minotaur launches have been doing it for the last 10 years. But about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, when Orbital Sciences and NASA started discussion about taking supplies to International Space Station out of Wallops, and then that's when Mars got involved to start building a new pad. That was a time that felt that we should actually have a company that would be purely supporting activities at Wallops. So that's when we activated Spaceport Support Services. That company is only about 4 years old.
And that was really with the new launch pad.
New launch pad. So it's in charge of, you know, supporting a new launch pad and also the previous pad.
Now, you know, let's talk a little bit about these pads, because it was really, as I mentioned earlier, I'd been driven around the pads, mm-hmm. but I never got to be up close and personal like I was with you. That's when I said, boy, I must be with somebody pretty important with these pads, because I never got so close before. you know, and let's talk about the new pad, Pad A. That's the one that the Antares rocket
right.
is launched from, and it's liquid fuel, which was just, you know, mind-boggling. First of all, to see it's the tallest water tower, because it obviously has to have a cooling system to put out the fire
right.
from the rocket. And that water tower holds 285,000 gallons of water.
Right, and that water discharges in a matter of minutes after the launch.
It is just crazy. And, you know, it's amazing just to see the pond that you have for the holding pond. And also, I got to see how you design the pad so the flames shoot right out to the ocean.
Right. The design is nothing new. That was done by a company that's done designed other pads. And it's more or less a standard setup.
It's just to see it.
But the size, yeah.
Up close.
Yeah, right.
And personal.
It's enormous, yes.
It's enormous.
Yes.
You know, what also, especially with this new pad, is all the different components that had to just fit perfectly
right.
because of the type of fuels that you're
right.
using.
You know, it's a mixture of different commodities. So your liquid oxygens, and then you have your nitrogen, your helium, RP1. It's quite an operation.
When you see that and you look at this as a brand new rocket, It's a brand new pad. I mean, that test launch that went off, it was just beautiful. Perfect.
Yes, indeed.
And for everything to work like that,
that was a perfect launch.
So congratulations to you guys.
Well, congratulations to the entire team. I don't want to take credit for anything over here. It's a team.
Now, you were telling me your company designed basically everything. Also, what transports the rocket from the HIF.
We didn't design it. No, there were companies that designed it.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry about that. But all the towers.
Yeah, there was a consulting firm that did the design for the entire pad. And the project was managed by a construction company. And the project owner is Mars Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport.
Okay. When there's different launch pads, you know, there's some launches coming up. We've
right.
got the second test for the Antares.
Correct.
And then there's two Minotaur launches coming up in
right.
the fall.
Right. Right now, we have a launch scheduled at the Pad B. It's a Minotaur 5 launch, which is a LADEE. It's a lunar launch. It's a research and a study on the low orbit of the lunar orbit. Then that's September 6th. And then on October 30th, we have another Minotaur 1 launch, and that's the ORS-3. And so it's almost two launches back to back.
Now, your company will come in and make sure that the pads are ready for the in between those launches?
Right. Our job is to convert the pad from the LADEE launch to the ORS-3 launch, and the tower that we walked up and down in.
Yes.
The platforms we all removed, and we have to put new platforms at different elevations for a different rocket. And our goal is to get everything done in 2 weeks. That's the window we have. So.
And that's where you were showing me where different brackets go to
right.
hold the rocket.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Wow. That's so. That's a quick turnaround time.
It's going to be a busy fall, and especially if. You know, right now, Antares is scheduled for August 29th. Then LADEE is scheduled for September 6th, and ORS-3 for October 30th.
Talk about a change of things. You know,
that's
I remember
right.
when I first moved down to Chincoteague, I think that, there was a Minotaur launch every 2 years or so.
That's right. Yeah, it was once a year, once every 2 years. And
at the most. And now you've got...
I have to admit, I was one of the doubters. I never thought we're going to see anything like this.
Really?
Yeah. I knew, I was hoping for it, but this is fantastic. So.
Now, Sepp, one thing that we were talking about was the space program basically going into the private sector.
Right.
And the differences that and all the opportunities that can become of that. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, on your thoughts?
Well, I think it's about time, and I this is just my personal belief, that I think even NASA all along felt that would be a time that they would become more of a managers and let the private sector get in there and do the dirty work, do the launches. I always compare that to highway business because of my background. You know, years ago in the 50s and 60s, the DOT's Department of Transportation, they build roads and build bridges, but they don't do that now. They set the rules, they have the inspection, but the private sector contractors come in and they build the roads for them. So we are at the point now that the private sector can come in and do the work for NASA. And NASA would basically set the rules and the requirements and oversee it. And that's the way it should be because it would save a taxpayer a lot of money.
Right.
It would create more jobs. And it would spread the work to different regions. It's not limited to one area.
Well, that's what's so exciting about it is that, it kind of brings the space program back to life.
Right, right.
Which is just wonderful, and it also can open up opportunities. Like we were talking about tourism, space tourism down the line.
No doubt about it. I think that's the next phase. And I really think you're going to see it maybe in the next 10 to 20 years.
Really?
Maximum.
Now, remember, we were mentioning that they, you know, there's talks of, there's a lot of interest in Mars, mm-hmm. in going to Mars.
Right.
We were talking about that. And it looks like that there is a gentleman that maybe, I know that in speaking with the people at NASA, that the big problem is being able to land.
Right.
To land on Mars, and that there's great strides being made in that.
Right. And actually, if your listeners go back to I think YouTube still has some videos that shows that test was done about a month ago, and they had a rocket that actually took off, went up about close to 900 feet, and actually came back down and landed again on its own. And that's the first step.
That's what I understand, the very first step. So I heard this, and then you reiterated it last week, that they said that, you know, when time comes, that there can be an explorer to go to Mars, that the problem is they'll be able to get there, but they won't be able to get back.
Yeah, and there are plenty of volunteers right now. They're willing to do that. They're willing to do that.
You know what the engineer of this, the chief engineer of this station says? I want to go. He wants to be put on that list.
That's right. There's a waiting list for that. But there's a group that actually planning on it. They're hoping to do that. NASA a couple of weeks ago announced a list of astronauts for training, and they will be trained to actually go to deep space. But possibly Mars. So it's in the works.
And you know, the fact that I'm assuming that it's back in the, it's that it is now in the private sector, that there, you know, people that there's companies out there that are very, very, like, it's their research and development.
Yes. Yes.
Their R&D.
R&Ds. And also, you know, let's face it, a lot of your, take the, like, pharmaceuticals, for example. Their research and developments needs a very pure and clean environment. What place better than having a space station and go do your work over there, because you can't find a cleaner area. So there are a lot of things that can be done. That we're just at the beginning of it.
Yeah, and weren't you were telling me that in an asteroid there's actually water in an asteroid?
There's possibly water and minerals. I know there are, again, private sector people are thinking about bringing water back, bringing different minerals back. So
it's amazing. It just opens up a whole new world.
Right.
A whole new world is happening.
I had a fantastic life. I have no complaint, but I envy your young listeners, because what they're going to see in next 20 to 50 years, it's just mind-boggling.
You know, that actually, I want to transfer into STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, and how important that, you know, if any young people are out there and thinking, oh, you know, what do I want to go into? It's hard to get a job. Areas of STEM, and you're living proof of this. I mean, you hired 15 young engineers from the region, mm-hmm. from colleges from the region. That maybe you can just talk a bit about that, how important it is for these young people to realize what this is about.
Well, that is the future. I just can't imagine. I mean, look at the technology around you right now. Whoever thought something as simple as smartphone that we just carry with us. But whoever thought we're going to have something like that around? Without STEM, without math and science and education, we're not going to get where we're planning to get. It's essential for us to have our young students to consider it.
And especially right here. I mean, the local children, they've got this in their backyard.
Right.
What's happening here, which is not very many places in the country that something like this is happening here.
Not yet. No, yeah, absolutely. I think we should start at a very young age. But you know, like you said, it's available. It's here. Take the kids and show it to them. See, you know, let them see what's going on, and plant the seed now.
Can go right down to the NASA Visitor Center.
Right,
it's fantastic.
Right, right.
Yep, it's so true. You know, I've seen a couple local kids since I've been in the area that have gotten in. They've gone to internships over at mm-hmm. Wallops Island.
Right,
and just to see these young people get into these programs, it's just fabulous. But I do think that the word really needs to get out there more. Being involved in the Wallops Island Flight Facility for the last 5 years and seeing it from the pretty much for the Antares project,
right,
from the ground floor up. You know, do you go around talking to colleges at all? I wanted to ask you that.
We haven't had time to do that.
Not with 2-week turnarounds.
No, not with 12 hours a day schedule.
Oh, come on, Sap. You don't need to sleep.
I think some of our engineers were actually thinking about getting them to go back to their alumni or to their colleges and recruit. Give a talk and maybe recruit more engineers. That's in the works.
Well, they're so young. They've got the energy and time. They got the energy, right, even if they don't have the time.
And they talk their language, too. Yes.
Oh, man. Well, what is what's on the horizon for your company?
Well, I hope we can keep on expanding at the rate we've been doing it.
Now, that would mean the more rocket launches that they have.
More rocket launches, and who knows, maybe we have a pad A and a pad B. Or it's possible that maybe there's a pad C in the works, but I won't say more than that.
Maybe with astronauts on it, let's hope. That would be fabulous one day.
And that could be happening in the next 10 years, too.
I hope I'm around in the next 10 years. That's
sure
all I got
be.
To say.
Yeah.
You were telling me that there's a certain amount of rocket launches that they're shooting for from these pads.
Right.
And what was there? Quite a few a year.
Right. Pad A with Antares, up to 2015, 2016. It would be nice. I think we're hoping to have about 3 launches a year, maybe 4.
Oh.
Right. That's Pad A. And I think Orbital can probably give you more information on that, but I believe there is discussion to extend the contract from 2016 to 2022 for continuing to go to the space station. Pad B with the Minotaur 1, we are hoping to have 1 or 2 a year. We are capable of easily do 4 to 5 a year out of there. So Mars is trying to contact other customers to bring other launches in.
We could be having some 10 significant launches per year.
Yeah, that'd be great if we could do that. And then there's some discussions about maybe a Pad C.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely want to be updated on that. That is so exciting. Now, if there was a Pad C, would that go, like, on the other side of the HIF? I mean, where would that...
No, there are different sites they're looking at.
Okay. They're on the island?
On the island, southern part of the island.
Oh, the southern... Okay, so the other way.
Right.
Great. Well, you know what, Sep? I have a little surprise for you.
Oh, wow.
So you told me that you were in an interview once, and the girl asked you, so what's your song?
The question
is,
was,
is it Rocket Man?
It was Rocket Man or Space Oddity, and my answer is I'm too old for either one, so I go with Fly Me to the Moon with Frank Sinatra. How's that?
Well, Sep, thank you very much for stopping by. I hope you come back.
My pleasure.
And here's your song.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
Frank Sinatra there. Sep Mustigam, thank you so much, President of Spaceport Support Services. It was great having you here, and look forward to you coming back sometime soon.
My pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. That concludes today's Wallops and Assateague Islands Report. Have a great day.
This has been the Wallops and Assateague Island Report.